Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, August the 31st, 2016, last day of August. We are going to be heading into September. Labor Day just around the corner next Monday. You're not going to want to miss that. 12:16 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Scott Spears along with you here on the Now program. Do want to give you a little reminder. Next Thursday and Friday, September 8th and September 9th, it will be the Big Popcorn Festival here in Marion, Ohio, the biggest festival. One of the biggest festivals in Ohio, which will kick off with the Popcorn Parade on September the 8th at 6:30 p.m. And riding with us on the float and spending 2 days in Marion will be the legendary mailman from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Mr. McFeely. So look for that next week here on WWGH Radio. And coming up next hour at 1:45 p.m., we're going to be joined by legendary panelist from the McLaughlin Group, Eleanor Clift, who now writes for the Daily Beast. She used to write for Newsweek, and she'll be giving us her thoughts on all things going on political, 1:45 until 2 p.m., and we'll have open phone lines throughout this hour and maybe even give away some stuff. But we're going to open up the program today because yesterday I got an email from the office of one of my favorite people. It was an interesting subject, and I love having him on, so we will start this program off today for the first 15 minutes with a man who I never get tired of, even though he won't tell me who's going to be the next president. You know, I'm still, you know, things are uneasy over that, but, you know, we'll let him slip for now. World famous mentalist, best known ever, the amazing Kreskin. Kreskin, how are you?
Scott, I am good. I just heard some absolutely fascinating news from you, and I'm not just joking. I think it's interesting. You're having a popcorn festival. Is that what you said?
Absolutely.
I love popcorn. Oh my God! Now, is this a traditional annual scenario, Scott?
35 years. Marion, Ohio, is the popcorn capital of the world.
How did that happen?
Well, President Harding was from here, so we industrialized during his time, which was the early 1920s.
Sure.
Because of that, a lot of industry came here, and a group called Wyandotte Popcorn came here, and I forget the percentage, but it's a gigantic percentage of the world's snacks, not just popcorn. Doritos, potato chips are produced right here in Marion, Ohio.
I find that extremely refreshing. In this day and age, when we're beset, not every 24 hours, but for every 3 minutes, with a new commentary on one of the two that are running for office, I just think this is damn refreshing. I think that's the most refreshing thing I've heard in the past 24 hours. I mean it. I honestly mean it. By the way, I still stand by. I'm going to buy in about two, three weeks, maybe a little more than that, do a dramatic scenario about the oncoming election because, you know, for four different elections, I predicted the results but never made it public because I don't want half the public angry with me ahead of time. But this the way I'm going to be doing this prediction has never been done in history in this way, and we're very excited about it. So that's kind of a cliffhanger that you'll have to get back to me in about 3 weeks, and I will elucidate. But as far as personally who I'm voting for, and I said it before, I honestly mean this. The person of the two parties I'm voting for is the one that I feel can do the less amount of harm.
Well, I certainly understand that, but now, see, here's an interesting thing, because I'm going to ask you who that is, and you won't tell me, but...
you're not going to hear who it is.
But now, here's the interesting thing. Have your personal feelings on who you feel is the lesser of two evils, are those in contradiction with who you know will win the election?
No, because then I'd be, no. No, as far as who I felt would win the election, I made a decision almost a year ago. But this is, I've been with both people. I performed in Trump's home, and I've been, if you look on the internet, there's pictures with Clinton and a lot of the people for a while with Christie, who is, of course, the governor here in New Jersey, and he had me a lot of events. This is before they were running for the political position. At that moment, I refused public appearances because then it would seem like an endorsement. But I'll tell you one thing about this time. I don't think everything's going to be solved in the next two elections. I think it's going to have to be something further in the future. I think one of the answers has to be, which isn't going to take place, that we really have to clean house, because we have one of the most corrupt governments in modern history. And I've said it before, I have nothing against politicians, but I wish most of them had been on the Titanic.
Well, Kreskin, I had this tremendous idea, and I know you have this thing coming up. And
then you got something up your sleeve, Scott.
Well,
I've worked with Scott, folks, this is my fifth time with Scott. I've worked with him long enough that, boy, does he have a concoction up his sleeve. What are you going to tell me, Scott?
Well, now, this is interesting. It was a concoction. It came to me the other night, because we have talked so many times about politics,
sure.
and your predictions are always so fun and interesting. And actually, one of the people who you used to give your predictions to, Robin Leach, is actually going to be on this show next week. So,
he's a wonderful... Have you ever interviewed him before, Scott?
Yes, I love that man. He's a very nice...
You know, he has a column now in, I believe, in Las Vegas now, that he's no longer in broadcast. Are you aware of that?
I am.
Writing?
Yeah, I'm glad he is, because he's a great writer. I think people remember him from Lifestyles, but he's a tremendous writer.
He came to my house, by the way. He came to my house during that time and ended up by deciding with him to do one of the most dramatic tests in my entire career, and it took place as a result of that show.
Well, it's a tremendous show, and I don't know. I just always enjoyed him. But here was my plan, Kreskin. Now, I don't know what your plan is for the election, but here was my plan. Because Ohio, as you know, is going to be very, very, very important. Now, the city
very
where...
Much so.
Oh, big time. And the city where we sit is the... We had a president from here. This station is actually named after Warren G. Harding. His memorial is less than a mile up the road. Now, I thought...
From your city? That's where he was born, in the city you're
born,
in right now?
Born, houses here and everything. He's buried here. He's just a mile up the road, pushing up daisies.
Wow.
So what I thought was... I thought, now this is big, because you don't want to send it beforehand. But I thought, boy, if you came here election night, because there's going to be a lot of focus on Ohio, you came to this radio station and you brought your prediction with you, hermetically sealed, and then once we find out who it is that night, which I assume we'll find out that night, you unveil it right here in Ohio, because all the media will be in Ohio that night.
Let me, Scott, when you discuss this with me in about 3 weeks, because wait till you see how this prediction is going to be revealed. It has never, I can tell you this, no one has ever done this in this way in recorded history, and you'll realize when I talk about it. But let's put that on a hold right at this time. This is it hasn't not reached a point. I mean, you've had many discussions, because you're live, you're on the air. It's almost become a sideshow. Would you not agree with me?
It is different, that's for sure.
By the way, you mentioned, and of course, people want to look into it. My new book in real time is, you can look on my AmazingKreskin.com, my webpage, AmazingKreskin.com, or Barnes & Noble or what have you. But I became concerned, and it's the reason I sent out the release yesterday. You know, isn't it uncanny, Scott, that in a 2 week time, because 2 days ago, of course, it took place at LAX airport, and the people, the press and the media in California were calling me because they knew what I had talked about before that. And then a couple of weeks before that, at a New York airport, that you had the same pandemonium, which, when it was all examined, and don't blame the police for this, for God, don't anyone misunderstand me, but it turns out there were no shootings at all, misinterpretation of one sound, and who knows, I'm not sure if they've clarify kind of what triggered it off at LAX airport, except that you know that some of the people ended up running on the airstrip. Can you imagine that, Scott? Onto the airstrip.
That's amazing.
Well, let me. Do you have a moment to talk? Let me explain something the public is not aware of and what have you, and I mean this quite seriously. And we're. First of all, we are at war. We're in a world war. We've got an enemy that has filtered our country and around them. But that's not what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about what fear can create And I've talked about this for over a year that it was going to happen, and now we have the setting for it to happen because people are so alarmed because of the amount of shootings taking place. I mean, who would have dreamt in Chicago in 3 days up until yesterday, 57 people shot. Wherever, here in Newark, New Jersey, I'm only 25 minutes from Newark, there's shootings every single day. And so people are in a very panic-ridden mood because it can happen anywhere. And my change, you know, we were taught that the more guns we have, the safer we are. Well, let me show you. I don't disagree with that. I just want to show you how idiotic, stupid, and asinine that statement is. Talk to the police, because there's no people more protective and occupied with weapons than the police, and they have become major victims of crime shootings. You know, the police tell me today, they say, Kristen, with the amount of guns in our culture today, and many of them in the hands of people, no one's ever looked into their background or what have you, we'd have to have a police from the top of every high building to protect our society. And this is what they tell me privately, and they will not say on the air. Let me tell you what fear has created. Let's go back to World War II. And in World War II, we had in New York at Madison Square Garden, and I was a kid then, a massive attendance of Hitler's Gestapo and what have you, because there were many, many people supporting Hitler. And understand, there was no, we were not attacked then. Pearl Harbor did not take place. But this massive support of the savior of Germany and so forth is going to be Adolf Hitler and what have you. And it loomed because it had coverage. Who would have thought so many thousands of people were supportive of him? So we had a fear, even before the war started, that somehow we were going to be attacked. By the way, I have seen, it's all grass-ridden now, I've seen the pathway from Mexico into Texas where the Gestapo intended to march into the United States. That pathway existed many, many decades, and you don't read about things like this, but let's take this further. Now you have this setting. You have this setting of fear and not knowing what's going to happen and when it's going to happen and so forth. And then a man comes along and does on the radio, with his weekly show, he does this particular week a show based on the War of the Worlds, and of course it's Orson Welles doing the famous story that has become legendary in broadcasting. But we need to understand how peculiarly his broadcast of the War of the Worlds caused the panic it caused. And by the way, it was on a Sunday night. My father was getting a haircut in the town of Caldwell, New Jersey, on Roseland Avenue. He was visiting his barber, who was a good friend of his, and the barber was closed on Sunday and said, George, come over, we'll talk and talk and give you a haircut. And as the barber is cutting his hair, and it's a little bit after 8 o'clock, the barber says, George, I don't know what the hell's going on. And he turned the chair around. This is nighttime, and Roseland Avenue was like a few hundred feet from where my father's sitting inside the business. And he sees cars going down the street, and some of them are trucks with mattresses on them and so forth. And my father said to me, I didn't hear the Orson Welles War of the Worlds. I didn't know what was going on. Now, hear how something like this happened. Not many people listen to Orson Welles' show once a week on Sunday nights. The biggest show on Sunday was a show on CBS called Chase and Sanborn Hour, Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy. Edgar Bergen was a very famous, beloved ventriloquist, and he had two dummies, which as a kid I thought were living figures on the air. One was Charlie McCarthy, the other was Mortimer Snurr. And W.C. Fields, a lot of others, would love to come on the show and banter with the dummies, because you could say things that were politically correct and incorrect, and nobody would feel offensive because it was a dummy and a dummy was saying it back and forth, and it was an extremely popular show. Everybody listened to it. Except that night, the key guest from Hollywood, because Edgar Bergen did the show to Hollywood, was an opera singer who had been in movies. Now, a lot of people just didn't care for opera, and they turned off the show and went to another station. By now, the War of the Worlds show was already introduced, and what happened when you turned on the station? You heard a news broadcast They're not allowed to do a story like this on the air anymore. You heard a news broadcast where people were covering something landing in New Jersey, and it sounded like it was live. And then they would go to a commercial, they would go to a break, and you'd hear music. So people thought this is real, because in those days of radio, every station had an orchestra at different nightclubs in New York, and some of the shows were half-hour shows where you heard the music. So it sounded like you were hearing a radio show where there were bulletins interrupted, and they were describing more and more this calamity. Now, of course, if people stayed to the end of the show, they would have realized at the end, when Orson Welles said goodbye, that it was a fictional story. But people got so panicky, they started leaving their homes. And this is the way panic took place, because the reason it worked is we already had a setting of fear that there could be an attack that did not happen until Pearl Harbor and what have you. Now, what do we have today? We have shootings all over the place. We have them every day. And the press glamorizes or doesn't glamorize them, but reports them endlessly. And you have a point today where you're afraid to have your kids walk down the street at night in certain towns because you don't know if there's going to be a drive-by shooting. You see, aside from the real enemy, the warlike enemy, we have an enemy that's been created by fear because of the massive amount of shootings taking place every day in the United States.
You know, Kreskin, I'm glad you brought this up, and I'm glad you came on to explain that, because that is a very hot-button topic, because it's a chicken-and-the-egg type of thing. You never know what is causing what, and because of the media attention,
right,
it does cause fear, and I'm glad you came on and discussed that.
Scott, the serious thing is this. I have worked in 84 crime cases. Someday I'll discuss some of them with you. I know police very well. My brother was a policeman 18 years. I've worked with agents and everything else and so forth. You have a day-to-day. You now have, and the professors in Texas are in a state of shock and say, we don't want to teach under these conditions. You now have colleges, and a law has been passed where students are allowed to carry concealed weapons in classrooms in colleges. Come on. I'm not saying this has to do with money. I'm not saying that there's a pressure group with lobbyists that wants to sell more guns. But out of your mind, as college students say to me, Kreskin, we get in feuds all the time. We get in arguments all the time. You're going to have that as part of the setting. And now you're allowing in many states now people to carry guns in darkened theaters. God forbid a panic takes place because of some screwball shouting out something in the theater or some noise that's just misinterpreted. If you had people all over the place in a darkened theater carrying guns, you should hear a police say to me, Kreskin, we can only tell you, God only knows, how many innocent people are going to be shot because people do not know how to handle weapons in the dark. Do you hear me, Scott?
That is a very apt point, and that always is one of the big arguments out there. And I say it's an interesting topic, Kreskin, and I hope we do get you back on before November. And after 3 weeks, I definitely want to have you back on to hear how you're going to reveal this. And maybe we can work out something here in Ohio. You never know. But
and by the way, Scott, folks, you hear Scott now, so we can't erase this. The show's live, isn't it?
It's live.
I want to tell you, Scott's going to try to intimidate me and figure out. I like the way Scott functions. Folks, all I can tell you is, I said it before, if I'm in the area and I come on the air live with Scott, I'm not going to read his thoughts on the air. Oh, my God.
No, I just...
Good to talk to you, fella.
No, wait. I have one question, Kreskin. I have a parting question.
Scott?
Okay. Now, I'm not going to ask you, because I know of your integrity. You're not going to tell me who the next president is. But
yeah,
could the next president of the United States be eating a burrito today?
Oh, jeez. I want to tell you something, folks. You should be happy, all of you listening, in that Scott's not working for the enemy or maybe for some intelligence out of the Soviet Union, because this guy has ways of getting information. Yeah, listen, Scott, I kid you. You are always good to work for, and I promise you we will be talking in a few weeks. And as I say every time we say goodbye, let's just not say goodbye, but in the spirit of broadcasting, to be continued. Okay, Scott?
What about an enchilada? Thank
take
you,
care, Scott.
Thank you, Kreskin. Bye, bye.
Take care.
The amazing Kreskin, always one of my favorites. Boy, he's like a locked safe. He won't tell me because you know Donald Trump's in Mexico today.
Oh, that way you.
He's meeting with the Mexican president.
Oh, trying to build that wall.
I, I don't know. That'll be a fun meeting because tonight he's giving his immigration plan in Arizona, and but he's meeting with the president of Mexico today.
Well, I don't think he's going to be over to...
You think he's going to go down there and demand, you're going to build this wall, man?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Could be rough. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And we've got an hour here of open phone lines because we're not going to be joined by Eleanor Clift until 1:45. But if you want to say something about what the amazing Kreskin had to say, and I tend to agree, do you think people should be taking guns into movie theaters?
Oh, absolutely not. I don't think they should be taking guns anywhere in there. Public place.
And apparently he's talked to police officers, and police officers agree with him that a lot of innocent people would get shot. That's what I worry about. I don't care if you shoot the criminal all day long. But when you're shooting the criminal in a dark movie theater and I'm sitting there with my big tub of popcorn and my jujubes and my gummy worms and all the stuff you get, you know, you have to take a credit card to the movie theater now to get the refreshments, and you blow my head off as you try to shoot the guy. I don't want that.
Yeah, that would suck.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And we know what you get at the movie theater, all kinds of things, correct?
Sweets.
So what do you like? You like honey-covered raisins and chocolate-covered nuts and all those things, don't you?
I don't, usually I get, like, the sweet tarts and all that stuff.
Now, here's a good story. Here's a good story. This has nothing political, so this is good. This is an article today. No way it can't be. Radio stations are resorting to actually faking callers to gin up topics and make the programming entertaining. Now listen to this. Sports talk radio in Philadelphia is in bunker mode because Dwayne from Swedesboro, a regular caller to WPEN-FM's Mike Missanelli show, was actually... station producer Paul Egan. How about that? Adding to the controversy, as described in one radio blog, is the fact that Pat is, while in character as Dwayne, he's African American. So what this basically says is that even WLW, 700 WLW, right here in Ohio, that people are planning callers.
Really?
The radio stations are planning callers because they're not getting enough callers and they're not getting the callers that they want on topic, so they're planting callers.
Interesting. Well,
we've never done that.
Nope.
You can tell that daily, like right now, no calls.
That's right.
Maybe we should start planning them.
Yeah.
You go back in the back room and call the station, and it'll sound like we have a ton of calls. That's kind of interesting, I think, that radio stations are planning calls. What do you make of that?
That's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we don't even really screen the calls. If you get on, you get on.
Yeah, yeah.
We love to hear what you have to say. We love the freewheeling opinion, whether it agrees with us or doesn't agree with us. 740-383-9944. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. You have to confess and tell them about me now, how I work for you guys.
You do. You've been in our back pocket all along.
I know. I hate to admit it, but I'm going to have to come through and tell it.
It's stirring up that interesting conversation. You know, yesterday you were on with Steve Cannon, and we kind of had to cut it short because we were running out of time. What did you think of that conversation? Third-party candidate was the big push.
Yeah, I like Steve. I when he had that, I think he had all-night programs at one time. And when my kids had paper routes and stuff, I listened to him all the time.
Yeah, he's a good broadcaster. I like Steve a lot. But what were your feelings after listening to him for an hour? Did you feel he was voting for Trump? I mean, at one point he said he was going to vote for Thelma Harper, and he really had no use for the third-party candidates. What did you take away from that?
I felt he's trying to sort of leaning toward Trump.
Yeah,
although,
I think
so. I'm sure he doesn't want to.
Now, this is an interesting conversation because Sean was the one who perked it off yesterday by saying he didn't believe in the third party. Now, explain to Sean, because he was already gone by the time you had called in yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Why you believe in a third party?
I think that the only way we're ever going to get off of this silliness of, going for people that aren't, in my mind, qualified would be to show that... there are third-party votes, and if it can be significant, maybe at some point in time, we'll have a little better candidates. If you just vote for Hillary, then, oh, well, okay, it's a landslide, big deal. But no, I think it's important to vote for who you really want in there, and basically turn your back on the people you don't want in there.
Sean, you don't believe, you, in fact, yesterday I believe pretty close to a quote, you said, why would people want to go out and throw away their vote?
Well, yeah, my idea is why waste your time? Because, you know, to me, I don't think those candidates going to stand in prayer. You know,
well, like that, you know, it's not just to vote for president. There's a lot of other stuff going on there, you know, congressmen, senators.
Yeah.
Well, I guess
that's true.
Well, I guess the third party question that I don't understand in this particular election, and like I said, and I'm only saying this to prove a point because we do get labeled liberal all the time, that I have voted in presidential elections. I've never missed one since I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, I have always voted for who I thought would do the job better. Now, there were elections where I didn't really think either one of them were all that great, but I always voted for one because I thought, well, one has to be better than the other. No two people are exactly equal. And in my voting career, it has led me 50-50. 50% of the time I voted for Republicans, 50% of the time I voted for Democrats. This election will break that because obviously it's just the way it is. But I'm not going to tell you who I voted for, but I'll tell you a similar election where I felt that neither one of them was all that great at the time, but I did vote for one of them, and that was George W. Bush and John Kerry. Now, neither one of them at that point, after having Bush in office for 4 years and going to war in Iraq, and Kerry, I just never thought had a great leadership quality, even though I respect what he did in Vietnam. That was not an election where I particularly had a favorite. I did vote for one of them. And that's, I guess, what I don't understand. I guess when people say Donald and Hillary are the same and the lesser of two evils in those saying, I don't understand that because somebody can be not on the level. But that's different than being a racist. That's different than being...
To me, those... both candidates are so repulsive that, again, I'd be guilty to vote for either one.
But you know you're going to get one. That's the thing. I guess that's my thinking.
That's okay. I think, well, you know, the thing that's always brought out is that, you know, that if Trump's in, he's going to drop the bomb and we're going to all die. That's nonsense. The likelihood of that happening are almost...
Well, when we had the ambassador on, he said the ambassador under George W. Bush, because of the Patriot Act and the I forget what the act was, but it was in 2000, right before the Iraq War, where George W. Bush said, you know, we can't wait for the mushroom cloud. Mm-hmm. The act that was put in place, which has never been repealed, is that Congress has given their consent to go to war. So theoretically, the ambassador said a president can do that without approval in a moment where he thinks he can't wait.
Sure.
So
in Korea, it happened just that way.
What was that?
I say in Korea, it happened that way. Yeah, you know, Truman said we got to go there.
Right. So
he went as part of the United Nations, though.
Right. Well, that was World War II, wasn't it?
No, Korean War.
When he dropped the bomb.
He dropped the bomb in 45 and. 50, he had to go into Korea.
Right. So my thinking is that Donald Trump would have that power. So, I mean, I guess people do... Because I guess the conversation toward Donald Trump has turned to him being unstable. And I don't know if he's unstable or not. Dr. Art Uihlein, who's a doctor, who I don't think has any political bias last week, I thought gave a very good explanation to Donald Trump's mental state. And I think that is, I mean, people can hate Hillary for whatever reason they want to. And I always say this, if you want to vote for Donald Trump, that's fine. That's your right. But Hillary, even if you believe that she is crooked, even if you believe she's a liar, even if you don't want to vote for her, I don't think people think she's insane.
No, I probably not.
So
to me, she's so despicably shady.
Right.
You know, she's good at ditching the blame. Like I say, she hides her body so well.
Well, if she really does, then she's been doing it very well for 25 years. And how she's gotten away with it...
Longer than that, they're back into Arkansas. Well,
and if that's true, and she's been able to be the first lady for 8 years, if she's been able to be a senator, if she's been able to be secretary of state, if she's been able to get her party's nomination for president, and nobody's ever been able to take her down when people who were sitting presidents were taken down, like Clinton, like Nixon... like Reagan. I don't know what they were doing wrong. She must be the smartest person on planet Earth.
She's the best politician. Well, that's what that's all about.
So if you wanted somebody, if there was not a third-party candidate, I guess that's the question, to keep the country, even if it's just status quo, running with no danger,
mm-hmm.
who would you choose?
I wouldn't vote.
Right, but I mean, if you were making the decision, if you said, I have to send somebody in there, I've only got two choices, because it is, I mean, this is a reality, it is going to be one of the two. Gary Johnson's not going to win, I hate to say. So that being said, it's going to be one of the two. If you wake up on November the 9th, and it's Donald Trump, how worried will you be, on a scale of 1 to 10?
No more than if it were Hillary.
So you think they are exactly... See, that's what I've never met two candidates that were exactly equal. Even in the John Kerry, George W. Bush race, in the end...
Their faults are different. I mean, they differ. They're not the same faults. But both of them are not a good choice.
Sean, do you think they... Yes, people throw emails at Hillary and Benghazi and being crooked. They throw crazy and liar at Donald Trump. But do you think they're equal?
Oh, no, absolutely not. Donald Trump, I would not give him the codes for anybody. I mean, I think I think Donald Trump can start a World War III.
Well, here's what I know. I know Hillary Clinton was in on the planning for the killing of Osama bin Laden. I know Hillary Clinton worked in the Obama administration. I know Hillary Clinton worked in the Bill Clinton administration. To my knowledge, neither one of those administrations blew up the planet. Donald Trump, I just don't know about. And I did not like 2008 when we had a recession.
I mean, personally, I think he's crazy. See, Donald Trump, I think when he gets in the power, I think he would go nuts with it, really.
I don't think he would do the job. He would delegate all that. He's not going to do that.
So you don't think he would make the decision, say, okay, push the trigger?
No.
The president has to, right?
I think, here's what I really think. I think people are going to, if people's minds aren't closed, and a lot of people's minds are closed, I think the debates are going to change people's mind. Because like her or dislike her, Hillary Clinton's very smart. And I think Donald Trump will come out like he did, calling names and, you know, doing what he did to Marco Rubio and the whole bunch. But I think people are going to see her for the first time, and you're going to see brains versus brains, policy versus policy. And I think that will probably make up a lot of people's minds. Unless they're closed off already. I don't know how people could be closed off already. I keep saying it. People say I'm lying. But to be honest with you, I don't know who I'm going to vote for because I don't have all the information yet. We still have 69 days to go. I haven't seen any of the debates.
No, I'm tempted not even to watch them. Like I say, it's
so you know. So you're not going to vote at all?
No, I'm going to vote for
Third party?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because Gary Johnson is libertarian, and his beliefs, aside from government not being involved, which is kind of strange, because he leans more toward the Democratic side, and when you put him in these polls, he takes more votes away from Democrats than Republicans, mm-hmm. because he does believe in the legalization of marijuana.
Yeah.
And I would think that would be a big issue for some people.
It would be.
So it's interesting. Thank you for calling in.
Sure.
And again, the phone lines are open if you'd like to weigh in. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We plant no callers. So if they don't come, they don't come. If they do come, they do come. But we always enjoy hearing from you. So what do you make? Let's talk about it. We've got 10 minutes left here. Donald Trump is in Mexico today, meeting with the Mexican president, and he'll be giving his immigration speech tonight. What is his immigration policy?
Good question now, because... I'm sure he's probably talking about building a wall with him, but
But do you, what if the guy says, I'm not going to pay for it?
Who knows? It's hard to tell. He might have one of his flip-outs.
You think he'd go nuts tonight?
He probably would. You'll be seeing Donald Trump later on tonight tweeting.
You have a fear of Donald Trump. What is your fear?
Well, I mean, he's just going nuts with all the stuff that he's been doing the last few months. You know, tweeting about, you know, about that family losing a, you know, that lady that got shot, lost the baby and stuff. And what did he say?
He said African Americans are going to vote for me.
Yeah, I mean, he's just losing it.
I don't know where he is, but that's what he's doing. Now, here's a trivia question, though, by the way, because we got Zumbeezy Bake tickets in Tecumseh, which are just about gone and expired for the summer, and we want to give them to you. You can have two Zumbeezy Bake tickets or two tickets to Tecumseh if you can answer this question. In 1933, a first lady took a flight over the area between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore with Amelia Earhart. Which first lady was that? Which first lady flew with Amelia Earhart between Baltimore and Washington? Obviously before Amelia crashed and died. What first lady did that? You can have two tickets to Zumbeezy Bay or two tickets to Tecumseh. Which first lady flew with Amelia Earhart? And I'll give you one more question. You can each answer either one of these. Who was the only president who studied to be a medical doctor? Only one of them. They've all been lawyers and politicians and private businessmen. But which is the only president who studied to be a medical doctor? Who studied to be a medical doctor? And which first lady flew with Amelia Earhart? Answer either one of those. You can have Zumbeezy Bay, you can have Tecumseh, or you can have a To Die For cupcake or two free bowling games to Buckeye Lanes for a group of four. 740-383-9944. Okay, so tonight when he gives his speech, do you think he'll say that the Mexican president agreed to pay for the wall?
Oh, no, he'll probably say, well, it's worth talking about it.
Because that's his big line, yeah. You know, he's going to pay for that wall. Well, do you think he's going to pay for that wall?
No. I'm sure the president said, you know, bring that up to me one more time.
Why do you think Trump is meeting with the president of Mexico?
Good question. I don't know. Well, you know, his new campaign manager is actually doing some changes for him, or trying to.
Trying to.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday we had some primary races around the country. One of those was Marco Rubio. Now, this is kind of interesting. Former Republican presidential candidate, Marco Rubio said he stands by comments he made during the bruising GOP primary now that his party's nominee is a con man. He called Donald Trump a con man, if you remember that.
Yeah.
He said, and this is what he says now. He said, I've stood by everything I ever said in my campaign. He said that with the Miami Herald editorial board. he got into a memorable spats with Trump, including he also called Trump a lunatic. And he also said he had small hands, if you remember that, and made fun of his hair. And suggested that Trump wet his pants backstage before a presidential debate in February. Despite all that, Rubio says, I'm voting for him for president. But he still stands by all those things. Now, he says, you know, I don't even know how you say that story. Now, wait a second. You literally on stage called him a lunatic and a con man. But then you say, they ask him, say, do you want to take any of that back? And he says, no, I'm sticking to it. But then he says, I don't know. Do you make any sense of that?
He's voting for a president.
I guess. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Party.
Hey, it was Eleanor Roosevelt who flew with Amelia Earhart.
It was Eleanor Roosevelt who flew with Amelia Earhart. What's your name, ma'am?
Holly Druckenmiller.
Whoa, Holly Druckenmiller. Holly, are you a regular listener? Are you there, Holly?
Turn your radio.
Holly?
Yes.
Yes, oh, good to hear. What would you like? Would you like the Tecumseh tickets or the Zumbeezy Bay tickets?
The Tecumseh tickets, please.
You got them. And just pick those up here up at the studio between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Today, tomorrow, or on Friday.
Where's the studio?
We are in the Marion Center Mall, right next to the Crafters Coop. Do you know where that is?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much.
Are you a regular listener?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate that.
I jog in my pool.
Oh, as you're in your pool.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you enjoy yourself out there, Holly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Holly Drunkenmiller, a new... That was right, wasn't it?
I think it is.
Drunkenmiller?
I think it's either Drunken or Drunken.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Thank you, Holly, for winning today. Two tickets to Tecumseh are yours. I hope you enjoy that, Holly. 7403. It was Amelia Earhart. It was Eleanor Roosevelt. Who flew with Amelia Earhart. Yeah. So we still have another trivia question on the table. The other trivia question is, which is the only president to study to be a medical doctor? Now we'll throw another one in there since we've got rid of two Tecumseh tickets. Okay, here's another one for you. Okay. Which president made the shortest inauguration speech ever? He only used 133 words and spoke less than 2 minutes. Shortest, you know, after you get sworn in?
Yep.
Shortest speech ever. 133 words, spoke less than 2 minutes. Who was that? Can you tell me who that was, or can you tell me who the only doctor was to study to be a medical doctor? Give me either one of those. Shortest inauguration speech, less than 2 minutes, 133 words. Which president was that? Or you can tell me which president, the only president to study to be a medical doctor. 740-383-9944, and you can get two tickets to Tecumseh, or you can get two tickets to Zumbezi Bay, or a To Die For cupcake, or a pass for two free bowling games to Buckeye Lanes, which turns 90 years old.
Yes, I heard that.
Very nice. Now, back to Marco Rubio. Little Marco called Donald Trump a lunatic. 740-383-9944 is the number. Called him a lunatic and said that he was a con man, but says, by God, I'm voting for him. What do you think?
That's because he's a true Republican.
Is that a true Republican? Is that what that means?
I guess stick with the party. I don't...
But should you stick with... This is what I don't get. You call somebody a lunatic, and you call him a con man, and then you say, but yeah, I'm going to give them to the president. I'm going to give them the highest office in the land for 4 years. Why can't people... I just don't know. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I guess he didn't want to do what Bush and everybody just don't vote.
Let's say you ran for mayor, okay? That chance. But let's say you ran for mayor, okay? And I called you a lunatic and a con man. Do you think I'm going to vote for you?
In reality or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, in reality.
No.
Do you think I'm going to... If I think that a candidate is a lunatic and a con man, and I've said that out loud... on television, on radio, and in newspapers, that I'm going to go back and say, but I think they should be president. Con man? Yeah, he should be president. That's what I'm saying. People got to get out of this party stuff. I'm not so much for the third party stuff, but I think people got to forget the R and the D. Vote for whoever you believe in. Forget this party stuff.
Well, obviously, he don't believe in either one of them, really. But I guess he's just, on his behalf, it looks like he's sticking to his party.
Yeah, but if you thought the person was really a lunatic?
Yeah.
Lunatic's a heavy word.
There's some diehard fans of the Republicans, the diehard, you know, Democrat.
How does that look for him, though, if he would ever... He's young. If he wanted to run again, how would that look for him that he called him a lunatic?
It wouldn't look too good, I went there on his resume.
740-383-9944. Give us a call. We got Zumbezi Bay and Tecumseh tickets here. All you got to do is let us know who was the only president to study to be a medical doctor and who gave the shortest inauguration speech on record, 133 words. It took less than 2 minutes. And you can have two tickets to Zumbezi Bay or two tickets to Tecumseh, or give your opinion on anything we've talked about. Amazing Kreskin, Marco Rubio, all kinds of stuff. And we want to thank Holly Drunkenmiller for winning the Tecumseh tickets. She got the question right. Which First Lady rode with Amelia Earhart? Do you know? You've already forgotten, haven't you? You're gone.
I'm gone.
Holly knew.
Holly knew.
It was Eleanor Roosevelt. Yeah. And now she's going to Tecumseh. And we're going to break, and we're going to be back with a half hour of giving stuff away, current events, and Eleanor Clift at 1:45 from the McLaughlin Group and the Daily Beast. Don't go anywhere.
Porky, Marvin there, he doesn't seem to like you very much.
It's all an act.